and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
James.
Hello.
And Brody.
Hello.
It's good to have the gang all back together. Brody, I'm looking forward to hearing about some of the games you have to tell us about today. But first, I want to check in with James, seeing as you've had a bit more time with Metroid Dread now. How are you finding it, James?
Yeah, good. I finished it, so...
Smashed it out. Nicely done.
I was like...
How many times?
Only once, thanks. No,
60.
No, I got to the end and I kind of didn't want to finish it, so I pivoted to Far Cry and Axiom Verge 2 a bit. But then I was like, no, I better just finish it. Yeah, really good. I think it's fantastic. My only real complaint with it is I feel like the first opening areas are a little bit whatever. Like, I feel like it takes a bit to get going. But yeah.
I think we spoke to Shannon about it last week, obviously, as he reviewed it. And he kind of, like, I think leveled a complaint against it that maybe it hadn't quite taken the step beyond we've seen like other kind of Metroidvania-esque games do in recent years. Did you agree with any of that sort of sentiment at all?
Yeah, it's a bit of a touchy subject, Ewan. It's a bit of an argument over the weekend about it.
We've had many conversations or non-conversations about it.
I didn't realize I was walking straight into this. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Just pour salt in that wound. Still
the
fresh.
Tea has been spilled off the podcast. You can tune into there.
Yeah. If you follow, we should have done some off-show drama on Twitter. Yeah. Like the housewife.
We'll leak our chats.
Yeah. I completely disagree with Shannon, but I think that it's...
I love the way you were building up to that, like you were trying to soften it. Like, look, Shannon and I don't see eye to eye all the time. You were like, I completely disagree.
Yeah, I'm like shaking my voice a bit. I'm a bit scared. but it's genuinely, like, I don't know. I just thought it does quite a bit with considering, like, as you get more of the power-ups, especially towards the end of the game, like, it just gets really... Like, almost, like, with the mobility and shit, it reminded me so much of, like, Ori and stuff. Like, you just get so many cool abilities. Like, you can dash around and zip around, and Grapple Hook is so different to the other games. The bosses get really intense. Yeah, I think it's a really, really solid... It's probably my second favorite, I think, overall, out of the five.
What's your first?
I'm not ready to
Super
reveal
Metroid.
That. Thanks.
Okay.
I'm a little bit. I'm not the you're not like other girls when it comes to Metroid games, but like it's. I really like Fusion. I think that's one of my favorites because it's very horror, and obviously this one leads more into that. But you really can't beat Super Metroid. Like it's pretty. I am just like all the other girls in the end. but yeah, Dread is really good. I think it's a really solid game, and going back and playing. The Metroid 2 remake, I really appreciated how far that team has come, because it's the same team, obviously, in just making it flow so much better, and the combat's great, which I think Shannon agreed with. But, yeah, I really like it. I don't have many complaints about it.
Didn't find it repetitive either, no?
Nah, not at all. I just think, like, those opening moments are very dry, and I also feel like... It's surprisingly unfriendly for a Nintendo game. Like, it's quite difficult, and that's been a huge thing. It is every time a game comes out that's hard, right?
Yeah.
but, yeah, I was surprised to find it was quite challenging, and there was no easy mode or anything. I didn't want that, but, like, I just feel like Nintendo's quite good at kind of doing that. So not an accessible
especially
game.
Especially for a franchise that's been, like, quiet for so long, you'd have thought like the first kind of foray back into it, they would want to make it a little bit more accessible and bring in new fans.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really liked it overall. That like those issues aren't issues of mine really, like just someone else's issues. But and obviously the price point, I guess, has been a bit of a hot topic today on Twitter.
Oh my god, did you see that tweet where it's like you got a Nintendo game and compared it against God of War? Yeah. Infuriating.
I was like, yeah, cool, that's God of War's one boss.
I don't think that's a dumb comparison to make. I still think it's a hard sell at like $80 to someone who isn't invested in Metroid. Would you somewhat agree with that, James, or no?
It's pretty good, but no, I think I guess
like it's a dumb conversation. It's so subjective.
It's so hard. But then, like, I do see what we've always said this about Nintendo too. Like with Kirby as an example, like that $80 price point maybe can be a bit high for some games. And I think about games like Ori, which in terms of scope and scale, I feel like are quite similar. Like obviously, Metroid does have some really nice schmick cutscenes and stuff, but Ori was what, $30 to $40?
Yep.
Sure.
That was a digital. Yeah, like, when I think about it that way, like, it is a bit much, but I don't know. Price to me has never been, like, a thing for me with games, and I don't, that's probably a very privileged thing to say, but, like,
I don't think it's fair to lump it on Metroid. It probably is a Nintendo-wide thing where it's, like, you're paying the same for Breath of the Wild as you are for Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. Like, it's just a bit all over the shop, in my opinion.
I feel like you see so much variety. Like, even on the PlayStation side of things, right? Like, although they're first-party games, you kind of pay the same sort of premium for. And they come in vastly different kind of production
budgets. It's the same there, though. Like, Sackboy's not worth $90 or whatever as well. Like, you can easily say that about that.
But Sony had a good thing going. Like, Shadow of the Colossus, Ratchet & Clank, and Concrete Genie were all, like, $55, I think, at launch. And that was, like...
Was Rift Apart not a full...
No, sorry, Ratchet & Clank, like, last the first gen. One. Like PS4
remake. Right. Yeah.
Like they had like a reasonably good budget price. Not budget, but you know what I mean? It wasn't like the full $99.95. And they've obviously thrown that out the window for PS5. But with Sackboy and stuff. But like I always thought they had a really good thing going and it would be good if Nintendo had something like that. But then these games sell regardless. I guess if it didn't sell, they wouldn't do it. So you know?
Yeah.
And they knew that everyone was
I
thirsty.
I kind of got the feeling from that tweet that it was like kind of just attach like the graphics into like maybe even the genre of game in a certain capacity. Like I guess that's maybe reading into the tweet. Like we don't know what the intention of it was so much, but yeah, I feel like that's just dangerous territory to go into. As soon as you start attaching like a set price to a certain genre of game or the aesthetics that chooses to go with, that's just dangerous territory.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that could be a whole other topic. Brody, I'm keen to come your way and quiz you about a game that you've reviewed, because it was a game I was very excited about, but I don't know if I'm going to still be as excited about it, having heard of what you have to say. But I am, of course, referring to Back 4 Blood, which, we had a bit of fun previewing it, but like, how was your experience with the full release?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't give up hope on it entirely just yet. I think the benefit of it being a Game Pass game, as I've sort of said all day, is that... I think it will give Turtle Rock a chance to sort of iron out some of the issues that people are having with the game. And I think in a couple of months, it could easily still be, you know, that that condensed experience we had in that preview period could probably, you know, become the wider experience. But for the moment, yeah, there's just a lot of things I don't vibe with. I think they've made a lot of really silly design choices that kind of, obviously, one qualm I have alienates an entire sort of player base. Granted, you know, their game is designed for online play, that's the whole idea, but to sort of gate progression from solo players entirely, I feel like is a really bad move, and it's something that they didn't do with Left 4 Dead at all. Like, I played that game plenty by myself, and it's disappointing to see that they've sort of just like strayed away from that, and like they've made it online only and all that sort of stuff. Maybe it's just a sign of the times, but on the whole, I think maybe the preview period that we had sort of tricked me a tad into thinking that it was gonna be, you know, like a really nice tight campaign, like that was like well paced like the Left 4 Dead ones, but this campaign I felt was kind of all over the shop. Like act length varied greatly, you know, chapter to chapter, and once you sort of got past that first because what we played sort of until maybe the boat in maybe a little bit after that. But then once you sort of get sort of to the following acts, they start to, like, recycle areas a bit. Like, obviously, they put, like, varied paths and different ways through areas in, but ultimately it's the same assets used over and over, and it kind of kills any feeling like you're getting anywhere, and it just starts to feel very samey. I think I'm sort of just reading through my pros and cons to, like, remind myself of what I didn't like. Don't get me wrong, though. The moment-to-moment gameplay is still really tight. Like, when it's running at full flight, like, it's still a fun game, and it still very much feels like Left 4 Dead, as it should. But, yeah, it's just all these other little things. Like, if you are playing by yourself, like, the partner AI, like, the computer AI is just dreadful. Like, they're so stupid. Like, so many times, like, I'd be, like, downed because I'm like Ramboing the thing, and like they would just be like standing behind me, like just shooting at nothing and just not picking me up at all. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? And yeah, and I feel like the only other effort they make to, you know, make it a fuller product for people who are buying it is Swarm, and that feels somewhat underdeveloped and just like a bit of a throwaway idea that they could build on in time, but at the moment doesn't really feel like a long-term sort of proposition for people who are looking for that kind of thing. It feels
a round-based survival
mode? It's the one where you take turns alternating teams. Like in one round you're the cleaners, in the next round you're the swarm.
Right, and of course.
I feel like it's definitely favored at the minute to whoever gets the swarm first, because you just wreck shop as the swarm so quick. Like if you just go in there as tall boys and just fucking smash the shit out of everyone, you're pretty much unstoppable. So things I do like the gore is really good. Like I think it does that well. Like seeing like body parts chip away as you're shooting at the Ridden coming at you is always really fun. And I do like the way they've tried to contemporize the game and sort of add modern twists, like the deck building. Like I think the corruption cards probably add a little bit more to the game than what the player cards do. Like they do like add little twists here and there, and there were ones that I always favored. Like there's one that like turns your melee always into a stab, so it was an instant kill. I always like use that one because I'm always in the face of the swarm, so I like that sort of stuff. But ultimately at the minute it just feels like a little bit of a misfire. If they can fix the things with the progression and maybe, you know, tighten up some balancing, like in terms of you have a question.
Yeah, I did. I want to ask you about the progression. Like when you say that's kind of gated for single player, like is that you can't progress the story? Is that your player?
That was weird for me too.
Progress? Like what do you mean by that?
So all the markers of progression in this game are essentially, so you can go through the story, you can go through the campaign entirely solo if you want to, and that's fine. But you essentially get nothing for it. Like if you're playing online, you'll get like supply lines, which let you unlock new cards and cosmetics and stuff like that, and even achievements. Or trophies if you're playing on PlayStation, and like you can unlock none of that if you're playing solo. Like so they're like
really incentivizing you to either play get online a group with of friends people. Or to like just matchmake, right?
Yeah, and like I said, that's the best way to play the game, but not everyone's going to be in that position.
That seems like a bit of an admission, though, that you're not going to have a lot of fun with the game if you don't. Like it seems to be very much like forcing you to kind of interact with others, I guess. In that regard.
Well, then perhaps they should have just made it online only, but. Because, I mean, like, it's pretty unplayable at the minute if you're just trying to play by yourself. Because, like I said, the AI is dreadful. There's no progression path for you at all if you're doing that. But, yeah, all in all, I just found the campaign to be just not very fun. And, like, the last level, god damn, what a piece of shit that thing is. Like, it is just... for a game that does what it does so well, with its, like, big set pieces and its finales and stuff like that, to end on, like, a bullet sponge boss was just a real shame. But anyway, that's my general
James
feeling.
Am I right in thinking you've been able to play a little bit as well?
Finished it.
Oh wow, okay, cool. Not just a little bit. How do you do it? I'm
how many
always
times
always amazed.
What do you mean? I was like not at work the last 2 days and I don't sleep.
that might
six
help.
Hours is all you need.
How did you find it then, James?
I don't completely disagree with Brady. I was just going to be dramatic. I played it with...
I love that you're presenting diversity of opinions right now.
Yeah, so I played it with a friend of the show, Tom. You guys might remember Tom. Brady eloquently told him to fuck off once. But
I think that was due to What the Wiki, I believe.
Yeah, it was. See?
Right. Yeah.
The press start canon is... sacred. I played it with like one other person, and you're right, Brody, the bots are terrible. Like at the end of each like round it would be like, you know how it gives you the stats and the bots are like enemies killed
zero. Killed.
Like I was actually like in shock a little bit, and but then I thought about it and I was like, and I'm still fucking having to revive them, so what are they there for? Like I don't know why there are bots. Must be some kind of programming thing. But I really like the deck system, which I surprised myself with because I hated the idea in the beta. I actually didn't like the beta that much. I was kind of came off feeling super like low. But playing it again, which is probably, you know, a good thing I did. I really did it. I liked it more than I thought I would. And you know, as I was kind of breaking open the decks and like kind of creating your own like builds and shit, I stacked like a lot of player cards that, like I had one that was like, it gave you more, every melee kill gave you more stamina, and it also healed you, and it increased your movement speed. Like, you would stack all these cards, and then I was basically playing it like Doom Eternal. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could just go up and be this, like, really strong melee build. The thing I noticed the most that I think was probably the most disappointing is I feel like with Left 4 Dead, every campaign was quite visually unique. But I do feel like in this one, they kind of put you in the same maps, but put you through a different path, and that's not always that interesting, I feel. Like, I can't... Yeah. I think about it. I've finished it in the last 2 days. I mean, I can't really tell you, like, what each act is about, whereas with Left 4 Dead, I feel like I still know those campaigns. And that's probably...
You had, like, the hospital, you had the swamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even the second one, you had the carnival. Like, there was always, like, a bit of identity to all of it. Another thing I forgot to mention was I feel like this game didn't do itself any favors by having, like, 8 characters. Like, I really feel like they could have, like, narrowed that cast down to, like, 4, like Left 4 Dead did, and it would have, like, I would have given a shit about these people. Like, I was a Holly stan. Like, I mained Holly all the time. Like, I love that. Oh, she's my girl. But, like, all these other people, like, I just, you're like, who are they? Like, they're just...
Yeah.
Yeah, they're there.
You weren't given a lot of reason to kind of care for them otherwise.
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
I'm getting kind of flashbacks listening to you guys, like, talking about this, thinking to another kind of cooperative survival game I played this year, which is Aliens Fireteam Elite. A lot of what you're saying feels like it rings somewhat true with that.
Having seen Fireteam Elite, I have to say this is better than...
Like, this is better than variety.
That's what I wanted to hear. Cool.
But I had an issue with the enemy variety as well.
Team Elite, I was like, this isn't what I wanted, and I'm like hoping Back 4 Blood is better than this.
I feel like the subclasses of the enemy varieties made it confusing, like, because you never knew which version of it was coming at you, and I feel like I said in my review, it became less about strategy, about how to approach these bad guys, and just literally just trying to shoot the shit out of them, like, to survive, like. Like, I didn't know if it was the tall boy coming at me to hit me, or I didn't know if it was the one coming to grab me. I couldn't tell them apart.
To be honest, I really enjoyed the beta, but I didn't feel like I really needed much more. Like, I would have been happy to jump in with the 4 of us if we could have made it work, but, like, I didn't come away from that thinking, like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens in the campaign. I think, let's be honest.
We're going to gaming counseling. Maybe things will work out.
We need it. Podcast scheduling, gameplay scheduling.
I think it's like... the enemy variety is quite good, though. Don't you But then I do agree with Brody. Like, when you play Left 4 Dead, you would hear, like, the gurgling. And you know that's, like, the fat, explodey one. Like,
that's the boomer coming,
It's nearby. Or, like, the tank music would play, and it's a tank coming. There's none of that in terms of... It feels a little bit haphazard in that way. And
I feel like they throw them at... Like, with Left 4 Dead, they threw them, like, sparsely at you. And, like, it would be something that you sort of navigate as a team. Like... Oh, there's the witch there. Do we, you know, chance our hand there and kill her, or do we just try and get around it?
Yeah.
But then they just throw so much volume of enemies at you in this, like, and specials as well. Like, they throw so many specials at you at once.
Especially,
like, I was dealing with 3 tall boys at once, and then, like, 4 fucking things that were trying to grab me from across the map. Like, so many runs that I was doing were just ended like that because all of us got pinned or like grabbed, and then, like, we just couldn't do anything. Like, it just became frustrating.
Kind of warning.
Yeah, it just became so frustrating.
I never found it frustrating, but that's probably because I was playing with another person. Like, I feel like that would... The bots suck. They're so bad. Like,
isn't that what you were saying then, Brody? You were playing online with people?
Full disclosure, I didn't play with bots the whole time. I played with, I played with real people I got.
Clearly you weren't happy with their ability.
I would love to.
Some teams were really good. I just couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if the difficulty was just all over the place, or if I just, like, literally got into a game with a team that were crap, or maybe I was crap, and then... The next time we tried it with a different team, we just absolutely rinsed it. So I couldn't make heads or tails of it, really. It was an inconsistent experience.
The final boss.
Oh, I can't see how.
Really? Oh, what do you think?
That tight little choke point room. But, like, fucking...
but if you all, like, focus on it, it's good. I thought it was quite cool. I thought they were, like,
I thought it was garbage.
It was very, like, Lost Planet-y to me, and I liked that. I don't know. I thought...
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like a cheap outro to me. But anyway,
I was wishing there were more bosses.
I entirely disagree with
bosses.
James.
Like, I feel like there should be more, like, end of act events.
Oh, that's a shame if that's not that's the case. There's too one few boss. Of those. That's a disappointing.
That big boss at the end. And
yeah, because like, that's what I loved like about the preview that we had. We came across that big one in the tunnels. The ogre. And then there was like the set piece where you're trying to get off the boat by having planted the bomb so it's going to explode.
Ogres show up a lot. Maybe. Ogres show up a lot. I think they're considered mini bosses. But I was thinking there was going to be more variety of that. Yeah. But there wasn't.
I think Swarm sucks. Nevertheless. I'm not a fan of that. I'm glad. I should say
Swarm's not great.
It's not balanced well. But these they never are. Like, I don't know why these asymmetric games happen.
Yeah,
I feel like
they struggle.
They're never like done properly.
Is it even asymmetric though?
Well, like you're literally asymmetric. Isn't that what like you know?
You got different abilities.
Each side has different abilities.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that it's better than Aliens Fireteam Elite though. Like certainly like the enemy variety there was the major issue, and it was less so like the variety per se, but just the way that you're asked to approach them. Doom gets it so right if you ask me, because like although you've maybe only got like 10 enemy varieties, each one you have to approach in like unique ways. Like you come up across like a mercenary, it's a totally different thing from when you come up against what are the scorpion things, like the little sniper eye, what do you call those? Anyhow, I digress. But like you're kind of constantly being asked to do different things as a player, and that's like not what I felt like Aliens Fireteam Elite was giving me. But I don't know if like maybe it's somewhere in between with Back for Blood and the way you're describing it, but that's kind of how it's coming across.
We may have scored them similarly, but I would safely say that Back for Blood is better.
Yeah, okay. It's very reassuring. I'm gonna
I think it's just like Left 4 Dead, but not, and that's the problem. Like, it's not...
It doesn't recapture the magic, so to speak.
It hasn't evolved enough.
Just falls a little short.
But the good thing is, like I said, it's on Game Pass, so you're risking very little in giving it a go.
Like or PC, like 100% try it, but I would not try it solo, like 100%. Not good.
No.
All right, let's pivot over to Far Cry. The other one that starts with F. Forza Horizon 5. Brody, another game that you've been playing in the past week or so. You got the opportunity to go hands-on with the game. Where's that lift your excitement for it?
Pretty high. Like, I don't know if you all remember, I was pretty controversial after we saw it at E3, and I said, didn't think it was that good-looking. I was wrong. This game's really, really good-looking.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you know, I was controversial. I said Stalker was the better-looking game, but...
It should be 4K 60 all the time.
With the ray tracing.
With ray tracing.
Well, there is no ray tracing, but nevertheless, I digress. It's really fun. Like, I haven't played too many Horizon games, like, so I can't really speak to it in terms of comparing it to others. I've only played maybe a couple hours of 4. Is that the one that's in Britain? 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've played that. But, like, it's just really exciting and really thrilling. Like, it reminds me of all the good parts about Burnout Paradise, even though it was the inferior Burnout game. Like, it's just a really cool open-world racing game that I'm really excited to get back into and sort of just get around that world and do everything. Like, it does so much cool stuff. Like, I don't know. Like I said, I can't speak to the previous Forza game, so I can't speak to whether they had, like, Forza Stories as well. And, like, obviously they had the Horizon Festivals and stuff like that, but... There's just so much cool little minute details in the world that, you know, just makes it really enticing to explore. Like the initial drive from the get-go, like they've got the video out already of the initial drive. It's just, those things always just set the scene for like the game so well. Like they just, like dropping down the side of a volcano in a fucking Ford Bronco is just the coolest thing ever. Like it's the hype moment of the year for racing games. But
did you guys try any of like the arcade or the event lab stuff, anything like that?
No, I think they, in the embargo material that I read, I believe they said that the event lab stuff and like all the online stuff is like locked for review period. So it was mainly just maybe like a 90-minute slice of obviously the initial drive, and then I got to like build up XP until like the first accolade, which was like buying a house somewhere in Mexico, obviously. So once I'd done those things, obviously it sort of locked me out of like the rest of the events that were available. But I played it a few times to try all the different ones, and there was like some cool ones that were like, you got to like drive like this, like off-road like vehicle into like a dust storm to like get a photo. Like it's like a photo op thing. And there's another one where you've got to like go like find this like vintage Volkswagen bug in like a in a little shed up in the hills and stuff like that. Like it's just all feels very lived in and very, very cool. But like it's just it's a really pretty game. Like I can't like state that enough. Like it's, yeah, it's pretty. And I feel like I said, it can be as involved or as uninvolved in terms of like the car stuff as you like. Like I'm not very much into cars. Like I couldn't point out where to put the fucking oil in mine. Like I'm the first to put my hand up and say that. But yeah, like, but if you want to get into that stuff, like tuning your car and all that sort of gear, like that's all there. But yeah, really fun.
Shannon, you also had the opportunity to interview the devs in the week too. I know this is a game that you're also excited for. Like, what did you kind of glean from that chat?
Yeah, it was a really good one, to be honest. Like, most of the time when you interview devs at sort of these preview review cycles, like you're getting like cookie cutter PR responses, but I felt like I got some genuine responses in terms of like how they managed to build this game in COVID with like using Google Maps and things that they wouldn't ordinarily use to build the world, and just some real honesty about how the game runs on Series X and Xbox One. And they were honest in the sense that like the Xbox One doesn't have an SSD, so you will have a lot more loading than you will on Series X. And they were really honest about sort of building the game for Game Pass and how that changes things, knowing that like people aren't playing it for a week and then trading it in and can come back at any time. So yeah, it was a real good chat, and I'm very excited for the game too. Like I didn't love Horizon 4 just in the fact of where it was based. Like it didn't feel
rude
Horizon-y to me. Yeah, it was a personal attack against you. I don't know, just coming from Australia, which is very like open. No, being like, it didn't feel like Horizon to me in the sense that like, I don't know, it just didn't. Mexico is where it's at.
Britain is hardly a wild terrain.
Exactly. Like, there's not volcanoes. Cool. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's the thing that was immediately noticeable, like when I played it, like because even though like a lot of the events were locked, obviously, like the whole map was open to me, so I could sort of drive anywhere I wanted. And like it's such a varied like place. Like, yeah. I think there's like 11 biomes in the game. Like there's like Baja California, there's like desert, there's like jungles, there's a volcano for frick's sake. Like it's just like, yeah.
What I don't understand how they do so well in the Horizon games is how like one biome or like one environment transitions to the next. It feels like so
organic,
genuine and organic. Yeah, like I just don't quite know how they pull that off. It's quite magical, really, because you shouldn't really be able to kind of like drive from a jungle into a desert like in a 5 minute period.
You would think it even does more,
it and makes it feel believable,
like it was just around the corner.
And on Series X, I'm excited to see how they can do sort of more with that in between, like in terms of like loading between locations. There's obviously no limitations on hardware, so I'm excited for it. More so after reading Brody's preview.
Those worlds are so much fun to explore. So much so that I'll tolerate the slander against Burnout Paradise, which was totally uncalled for. One of my favorite games of all time.
It's a good game, but it's the inferior Burnout. Burnout 3 is the best arcade racer of all time.
They're all great. I'll fight you on that. I can't believe it hasn't come back.
They're not all great. Burnout Revenge was not good. But anyway, I digress.
James, before I move on, any thoughts, feelings, opinions on Forza Horizon of any kind? I've got no idea where you come.
I think James was about to fall asleep.
Yeah, he was looking a bit glazed over. I thought I'd check in.
Cars are good. I drive one to work every day. Is there a Toyota Camry in this one?
there's probably bound to be.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about something I know you'll have an interest in, James, and that is, of course, the Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City trailer that dropped in the week. And now I've been holding off. I was so like tempted to message you in the week, having watched this trailer, and get your immediate thoughts and opinions on it, but I held off in anticipation for this podcast. Let's get stuck into it. Like, what did you make of this trailer that's kind of got the internet a talking?
Very strange state of affairs, isn't it? Strange. I haven't even watched that. Apparently, the second international one is way better.
I have heard that. I'm
the song choice and like the vibe. Like, I don't know. Like, were they trying to be Suicide Squad or something? I don't know.
It was like it was the only song they could find that included lyric like what's going on, and they thought like maybe there'd be a thin air of mystery around it or something. I don't know.
Well, that's so the bizarre. First line. Oh, is it? It's like it's in the first game, I think. I don't know. I'm being a bad fan at the moment.
Right.
Anyway, Yeah, I thought, like, I seeing the set photos and stuff, I was really excited. But then I think the set photos have been filled in with CG, and that's kind of put me off a little bit. The most obvious scene in that trailer was when they're in the foyer and they're, like, walking and the camera's panning from behind them, and it looks like a fucking VR. Everything is wrong. Like, it just doesn't look in, like, proportion properly or something. And like, but then I thought about it and I was like, well, they're not going to build the whole fucking mansion or like the key rooms, like physically, are they? Like, that's going to cost so much money. So like, of course it's going to be CG, James. Like, don't be stupid. But then like, I don't know. It's the monsters don't look the best. I'm just really like, I'm not excited like anymore, you know? I was excited for it to be going back to like Resi 1 and Resi 2, and I still don't really know how that's going to work, because there's meant to be time between them. I think they can make it work. I trust that. And I feel like Claire's the main character, which I also am pretty happy with, because I think she's always kind of gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to all the characters and stuff. But, yeah.
Did it do anything for you, kind of seeing like some of those, you know, real memorable moments of the game kind of translated onto the movie screen?
But what memorable, like, moments?
The truck driver and...
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah,
just little things like that. Little nods. The helicopter crash.
There are some really cool... There's some nods to, like, games that no one cares about, like Code Veronica. Sorry if anyone likes it, but I don't think anyone does. but, like, yeah, I think there'll be some really cool Easter eggs and stuff for fans, and I'm excited for those, I guess. But, like, I don't know. I'm just... The whole thing just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I was really excited to be excited, and now I'm just like, oh, I don't know. Like, it just looks a bit weird.
Yeah.
I like Claire. Do you think
there's any hope for this movie, Shannon?
Yeah.
Sorry, what was that? Cut out.
Oh, wow. Sure.
Do you think there's any hope for this movie? It was a bit of a harsh question, actually.
I don't think I've ever seen a Resident Evil movie, to be honest. So I'm excited, but I didn't think it looked that bad, but people were shitting on it. I felt bad because I think it was like the first article Kieran wrote on his first day, and I gave him the caption and he just got shat on all over the place. So
I reckon he'd like that.
Welcome to Breastfeed.
Yeah, I didn't think, like, you know what to expect from video game movies at this point of any kind. Like, I really don't think it looks too bad.
I kind of hoped that the tide was turning on that, but I don't know. Go on.
No. Like, I think, like, the director and... I think it will be okay. I think it's just a weirdly strange trailer, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch this other trailer.
Yeah. I'm not going to now. I'm just going to leave it. Like, and can I just fucking say, why are all these movies coming out, like, a month later in Australia? Like, I'm over it. Like, it's coming out a month later in Australia. It's like December 9th here or something.
Wait, so is this not on Netflix?
No.
No, it's getting a theatrical release. Theatrical
movie.
I thought this was Netflix too.
Nah.
That's where I got confused.
That changes my opinion a little bit then. Right. Just save your money for Scream in January. If that comes out in January. So,
wow. I know what you mean, though, because it does have, like, a kind of direct-to-DVD sort of look. Oh God, I don't know. Like,
that's like, unnecessarily mean.
But it does, look, it's obviously dealing with a lower budget, which isn't to, knock it unfairly, because you can do wonders with a lower budget. But it kind of... my initial reaction seeing was that this looks like a fan-made sort of thing, which maybe isn't a bad thing. Like, maybe we could do with some, like, more fan-made kind of movies. Maybe that's a good thing for the sort, like, that close reference to the source material. But yeah, like, just even just I wasn't very convinced in the sort of portrayals that we were seeing. It did look a bit kind of low budge.
I just hate CG, but I understand. But I don't.
I don't know if that was really my issue with it, to be honest. I think it was maybe it was just the, like, awkward tone of it and all. But yeah.
I
thought CG was like quite a bit expensive. Like, I don't know if what the split is between like doing stuff practically versus CG.
But... Like Povo CG versus an actual set, though.
Okay,
like...
yeah, maybe. Brody, where do you come down on this trailer? Better consult you for your opinion.
I was, well, when I first watched it, I was pretty impressed, but that's because I thought it was like some cheap Netflix show. Now that I know it's I thought this looks pretty good on a budget. That's not bad. Like the monsters look a bit, you know.
There's nothing wrong with something being or not on Netflix. I don't think. Like this feels like something that a lot more people would consume if it were on Netflix. Like it'd get a really big following day one.
Yeah. All in all, like I don't have a strong relationship to Resident Evil or any of the movies. I don't know if it's even related to any of the movies that have already come.
It's completely separate.
Yeah, well, that's probably good. That's a good thing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It could, you know, it could be good. I'm happy for James. I hope it's good. Yeah. Oh,
good luck, rapid fire question. Nice. Resident Evil movie or Mario movie?
No.
Oh, Mario. And this is going to be more of a train wreck.
I do have a, speaking of rapid fire, though, I do have a rapid fire question for you today.
What a segue.
Thank you.
What a segue. Thanks, Shannon. Took me a second to think about it. James, would you rather the SpongeBob or TMNT Xbox Series X console?
The SpongeBob one.
Question. Exactly.
Who
would
want the
TMNT one? Brody, are you in agreement?
Yeah, SpongeBob.
Excellent. I'm glad. All on the same page about something for once.
Because it makes sense.
SpongeBob. Because he's... Yeah, it does make
Hopefully
sense.
Hopefully I get it.
I would be happy to receive it.
Where would you receive it?
Wherever you want.
And with that, let's play What the Wiki, the Press Starts podcast game show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and the contestant must guess the game. The first to guess two games correctly wins the round and takes home the points. And speaking of those, their points last week, they're awarded to James, who is comfortably in the lead at this point on 13 points, Shannon on 10, myself on 6, Brody on 5, Harry on 3, Kieran on 2, and Stephen on 0. If you didn't pick up from the pause, Brody, I've managed to surpass you in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I'm just still reeling from what James said. That was hot.
Look at the mic.
James, seeing as you won last week, though, the hosting duties are all yours today. Take it away.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, cool.
ready, sorry. Yeah, woo! Yeah.
In the campaign, the player controls either... Someone or someone... As one character, the player can use weapons, throw grenades, etc. Unlike most characters, this player can also use... This is... Okay. I'm deleting this paragraph. This paragraph is not good. Okay.
What a mess.
Okay. The game is a first-person shooter, survival horror video game developed by Day One Studios and published by Warner Bros. Interactive for PC, PS3, and Xbox 360. It is the sequel. Oh my god, the filmmaker John Carpenter.
This is a Wikipedia gold.
Directed the cinematics while Steve Knowles wrote the game scenario. It is the only game in the series to have offline multiplayer and co-op. Do we have any idea? Because that I just fucked that real bad. Okay. I'm just pulling it back
up. The SpongeBob Xbox Series X.
I wish. That's a co-op experience, isn't it, Brody?
You betcha.
Players control their characters from a first-person perspective. The player can carry two weapons at a time and replenish ammo picked up from dead soldiers and weapon crates. The series' cover system uses a peeking rather than tilting mechanic. How exciting. In the campaign, the player controls either the point man or Paxton Fettle. As the point man, the player can use...
Brody.
Yes, Brody.
Is it Fear 3?
It is. Or Fethria.
Or Fethria.
Yeah, you so wish. It is. Congrats. Well done. Point number one goes to my Xbox homeboy, Brody. Okay, you ready? This next one's terrible too, but I'm ready. Okay. The game received mixed or average reviews according to review aggregator Metacritic. The gameplay is similar to the first movie's video game, with the same characters and moves, although the environment is in Africa. The Nintendo Channel released a playable demo of this game on the week of November 7th, which shows one of the side-scrolling, Lemmings-esque levels in which the penguins of the series are the main characters.
Oh no.
Shannon. Again.
Yeah, Shannon.
Happy Feet. Two.
No, it's not.
Ewan.
Yes, Ewan?
It's not that, but...
Penguins of Madagascar?
No, it's not. Yeah.
The movie, the game.
There is a theme. I don't know if you, but yeah, I shouldn't say it. It'll make it harder. The game is an action-adventure video game based on the film of the same name, released for Windows, DS, Brody. PS2. Yes.
Surf's Up?
Nah.
Shannon. Can I go again?
Shannon, yep.
Madagascar 3. Is
Madagascar 3. So after the common thread is like the third in the series.
8 years after the events of the first game, Alex, Marty, Melman, and Gloria.
Ewan.
Yes, Ewan.
Is it Madagascar 2? The movie, the game.
We need an adjudicator that I can call upstairs.
If it's Madagascar 2, he can have it.
Because okay. It's a subtitle. None of us know it.
When I said Happy Feet, I meant Madagascar, so really I should get it.
Okay. Is that how we're playing it now? It is Madagascar Escape to Africa.
So, Escape to Africa.
Yeah.
Did anyone honestly have a hope in hell in getting that otherwise?
You grew up, your golden age, isn't it? Your golden era. Madagascar
was hot. Those were the good old days.
Okay, let's go. So we're on Ewan 1 and Brody 1. How exciting. Shannon none.
I think I know the theme.
Probably. Okay. The game is played from a first-person view. In the game, players take control of Commander Alex Oshima, floating and moving in any direction through the open environment, which takes place in zero gravity. The environment may be fully explored, but players will be restrained from exploring too far. One of the restraints is an oxygen limit, which players must monitor to avoid suffocation. When running low on oxygen, players' vision becomes blurred. They must obtain an opportunity attack to stay alive. Nothing.
Brody?
Shannon.
Brody was first.
Is it Adrift?
It is Adrift. Congrats, Brody. You win.
Wow, I was going to say that too. Well done, Brody.
So the theme,
I know what the theme is.
What is
they
it?
All games have, with they all have numbers in the title.
Dumb numbers. Just
dumb numbers. Yeah. Dumb numbers.
I was like, does it... My first thought was observation, and I was like, is the O a zero? And I was like,
yeah, to celebrate.
Adrift has like a one instead of the I, right?
Yeah, that's back, yeah. Back for blood. And the last one was Driver 3.
Or Driver 3. That was my first thought once I worked out the theme. I was like, it's going to be Driver.
Yeah. Well, looks like you're going to win anyway.
That's a good theme. I like that theme.
Thank you so much.
Well done, Brody. That's got you tired, back leveled. Sorry, I was just...
Look how scared he is. Look how scared he is of me.
Back level with me on 6. So yeah, vying for bronze position at the moment. And we'll need to have you hosting next week. But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener, the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at pressstart.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
You can follow me at shancake_ on the Twitter.
We've also been joined today by James.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Jams, @JAMZ. I have nothing
for more SpongeBob antics.
Yeah.
Live stream if you will.
Who knows?
I know there's subtle like sexual energy in these podcast episodes, but I never thought it was going to be directed towards a SpongeBob.
It was after you fucking split your legs, Ewan, and showed us your gash before we started. Just got us wild.
That's going to mean absolutely nothing to no one. Also joining us today and taking home the points, that was Brody.
I'm so happy we don't have sponsors, because I don't know where you'd put that. Yeah, you can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
And I've been your host, Ewan Roxbury. You can follow me on Twitter at Ewan_Roxbury. Thanks again for tuning in, and until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.